Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth radio broadcast for this Tuesday evening. This is Royce. I want to welcome you to our show and just thank you so very much for tuning in. Today we're going to try to offer a little bit more excitement and a little bit more positive energy for you to have throughout the rest of this week. We have several guests on this evening. Our show today, Let's Talk Truth, is going to examine when what you have is not enough. That's what we're going to be talking about, when what you have is not enough. We're going to examine what is not enough. We're going to explore this in three categories. The first category is insufficiency. The second category is inadequacy. And the last but not least is greed. We're going to try to explain the reasoning for these particular scenarios and to decide whether we can change them to bring a more positive force to the lives of every interested individual. We have on our show today a nice young lady who we have her in the studio whenever we can. She's been on before, so let's give a round welcome to Shannon. Okay, Shannon. Also, we have back in our studio Louise. She stops by periodically, and we just thank God for her. And we have, last but not least, our favorite. I mean, he's becoming like a piece of the furniture in the green room, Mr. Motivator. And among other things, you hear us laughing because Mr. Motivator is not only does he motivate, he's a bit of a comedian. In fact, he does stand-up comedy, so he's always doing something crazy in the studio, but we love him for it anyway. Today, we're talking about when what you have is not enough. Now, you know, that covers a lot of territory. And we're going to first talk about the inefficiency in not having enough. And this is going to deal with different areas in your life, whereas you find people who they don't have enough to take care of their everyday needs. You would think that in the United States of America, in a time like this, you wouldn't find people who are hungry, but we do. And I believe most of this is targeted at our old people, at the elderly, because most young people, they get food stamps or different other things that they use to feed their children. They have some kind of hustle on. But most of the people here that we have in the United States of America that's not enough is mostly the elderly. And it's so sad that you find old people who have made such positive contributions to society, who have raised children, not only their children, but everybody's children. And they get to a point of old age and they can't pay their utilities, they can't pay their house notes, their rent. And we have so many programs in place, but we have programs that don't necessarily hit our elderly. And we're going to give our guests a chance to expound or make a contribution to the inefficiency of not having enough to take care of themselves. But before we do that, I had looked to try and actually see if I could see what percentage of our elderly people actually don't eat on a daily basis. And a lot of our elderly don't get food stamps, you know. Yeah, they eat cat food and dog food, and that is so horrible. I printed this from this lady. Her name is Mary King. And Mary King is a writer and an author. She writes fiction and nonfiction books. And she has done a little thing on America's fight against hunger, which she says is a growing crisis for older people. And as I was reading that, you know, I kind of began to just, you know, feel really bad because it says that about 51 million people in the United States go to bed hungry. And of those that don't eat, 6 million of those are older people, mm-hmm. are old people. And I just think about us, and I look at us, my God, I don't ever want to get to that state where I don't have food. I don't have anything to eat and not able to get something to eat. So, and before I let our guests have their portion, I spoke to some of the old people and was asking about, you know, food stamps. Do you get food stamps? Do you know some of our old people, they're offered something like $12 to $16 to $20 a month for food stamps? That's awful. That is so awful. So, yes, Shannon, Louise, Mr. Motivator, y'all just hop right in, and let's see what we can talk about in this portion that's called inefficiency.
Okay. My view on this, as far as I have a mother, my grandmother got restless, so, you know, they will be considered elderly because of their age. But the reason that more elderly are going without aid or benefit because what they have is not enough, that says volumes because they have an income. And the government is geared to supposedly help, but really it's handicapping because if you're young and you're pumping out babies, you get all the food stamps in the world. But if you've worked and you've served as a viable member of the community, and you receive a check, Social Security, that you put into Social Security, you're really just getting back what you put in, they consider that an income. And if you have anything past a certain amount, you don't get assistance. But all the time, if you think about it, you can go to, you know, Walmart or go out to the hospitals and the gift shop. You always see these elderly people working there. Why? To sustain their income. There's no way that I should see a 69, 70-year-old man bagging groceries. But his Social Security check is not enough. So they have to supplement their income. But wait, there's a catch. If you work too much, then they're going to cut your Social Security. So you have to work, you know, a certain amount. So it's like when they, it's like your hands are tied. You're between a rock and a hard place. Because what they have really is not enough. And so that's when you have people leading to other things, not just with the elderly, with anyone who's hungry. You have a mother who is a single mother. She doesn't make enough to sustain a household and sustain her children, but she's working, but her job just doesn't pay, you know, what will be enough to have a decent home for her children, so she falls on hard luck. You think they give that mother food stamps? No. You have a job. That means you should be able to feed your children according to government standards. But if I just lay out and don't have a job at all and just lay up and have baby after baby after baby, and, you know, your tax dollars, the ones that you don't have enough money, your tax dollars are going to be feeding me and my children. I mean, that's just how it looks. That's just the way the world is. It's sad, but true.
Oh, my goodness. You have said a mouthful there. And when you think about it, no, I think if we put in our time and we work and we serve, we should be able to live comfortably. Mr. Motivator, I know you have something you might want to say.
Yes, Lawson, this is another interesting topic, and it's very important, and it's something that we all should take into consideration. I don't think we should have anyone out there, or we should, if there, we have relatives or friends or people that we know of in our community, we should not allow them to be out there to go to bed hungry, especially our elderly. I know that I was blessed growing up, and I've never been to bed hungry. And to think that there are people who've made a contribution to society, and they've worked hard, and they've done things to help others, and they go to bed hungry, I think it's just, it's really sad. And I don't know about you, but the food that my dog Fido eats, I've tried some of it, and it's not as good as my regular cereal. Mm-hmm. Even though they put a lot of a high amount of protein in it, even if it does taste good, I just don't think
it's not made for human consumption.
It's not made for human consumption. Thank you, and we should strive to give our best to the citizens as well as we do to our pets and, mm-hmm. and our animals. I believe something is wrong when we push our elderly aside and we put more emphasis into our pets than we do our elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think this is a great, interesting subject and an important subject that you brought up here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Louise, would you like to make a say anything?
Yes, I would. Okay, I would like to make a contribution on the part of greed. Now, I know that for a fact that we've got the upper class people that make this all this big money, and then they don't want to have any tax taken out of their money, but then they want to tax all these other people that's making less than, say, $40,000. Well, to me, that's being greedy because, you know, what are they going to do with all that money? You know, you can only spend so much at a time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to be greedy, and they're trying to keep all that money to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're trying to do, they're trying to make it to the point where they want to take away the middle class. But when you start cutting off the money to the middle class, that bumps them down. So it's either going to be you either have or you don't have.
The haves or the have not.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, let's think that we were having things in different categories, and Louise spoke on the greed part, which she is absolutely right. We're going to go back and go back to the inefficiency and bring that to a close first, and then we're going to move on. If you're talking about the inefficiency, I just think that we have things the wrong way. We have things that have we have things just a little bit upside down. So when we get to the upside down portion, that stems with people who don't have enough to make it, and then the people who not trying to have enough to make it. You understand what I'm saying? I feel really sad when I see young people in the store pushing two or three grocery baskets, filling it up with groceries, and then the lady's hair is done. They get their hair done. Their nails are done. All these things are absolutely in place, because they're getting food stamps. And then you see an old person in there who's buying a little cat food, and you know they don't even have a cat. So that's really horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So we have things a little bit upside down, Mr. Motivator, and I think what we need to do is kind of put a ceiling on these women and their ability to get food stamps based on how many children they're having. If you don't have means to take care of your children, why would you have one every year? You know, and put that burden on the government, or not only on the government, on us. That comes out of our check.
It does.
And to take care of it. And then you find some old people who've been who has been the backbone of the community, who has helped to establish this society, and they can't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to randomly drug test. And when I say randomly, just show up at the house and drug test. Don't give them any warning, because if you randomly drug test, you'll find a lot of people you'll be able to take out of that system.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just the portion that we're talking about on inadequacy.
I agree with you, but that's not going to fly. The government, you have to spend money to make money in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the government will not spend money to do any drug tests. You know how many people they'd have to drug test? You know how much money they would come out of pocket you have to pay for someone to supervise? You got to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay for somebody to process the test, whether it's a hair follicle or whatever. That's too much money out of pocket. Now, what I think needs to happen, there has to be some kind of paradigm shift in the mind of people, because people don't realize, your good shit lollipop will run out one day. We all have to get old. There are things that are certain in life, and aging is one of them, unless you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get older, you have to realize you're going to run out of you're going to be in that same predicament. I think that's one thing we forget here. We always focus on my four and no more, or mine and that's it, mine and me and mine.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't realize is, you're only doing as good as the lesser person. And if we all contributed to one another and helped out in some sort of way, now don't get me wrong, I think I'm one of those. I think I'm not as easy to just hand over things as most people would think that I am. I'm not. I've become quite the skeptic, because now you can't even go to Walgreens, without people outside there. Let me go and get that 50 cent right quick. That whole little scenario. But I'm not going to pay for your crack habit. That's just something totally different, another subject. But we all kind of took the time to say, this lady, I see her coming in this store every day. She's always buying cat food. I've never seen her with a cat. Something's going on there. We stopped paying attention. We're so focused on ourselves that we've lost sight of really why we're here. If you're talking about, how things are going and why this is not, and everybody, we have to invoke change. You can't say, well, the government... Who put the people in the office? We do. And if we all had some semblance of thinking alike and follow, like people say all the time, WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's different. It's a difference in someone who cannot meet, their ends don't meet, and they're trying, than someone who is very lackadaisical, who doesn't care about anything. I'm just going to get whatever. I'm going to hold my hand out. I'm a firm believer in, if you teach me to fish, I can eat for a lifetime. But I'm going to say to have my hand out for that fish every day if you're going to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've handicapped our society in a way, because we don't think about what's not enough. As long as we have sufficient amount, we don't think about the next person not having enough. And I think that's where we've lost sight of things.
Mm-hmm.
If I cared, if I'm sitting here Mr. Motivator, I know I hear his stomach growling, and I'm over here eating. Well, he should have ate before he came. He should have ate before he came. How rude is that?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, if I just really shut up and let the Lord guide, he will say, Shannon, maybe his, don't you think if he could have ate before he came, he would have. Maybe his stomach growling for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he don't have, everybody don't have the, I'm broke, y'all, help me. Everybody don't have that in them. But if we listen and kind of, set up programs, and heaven forbid, I'm so sick of these recreation centers. I just have to get that out. Everybody will make it rich. Oh, I made it big. I got millions of dollars. I'm going to build a recreation center.
Mm-hmm.
That's just another place for people to go tag them walls up and bring them kids in there to collect $15 a month from their mom and them, have some work on the state. No, get out of these communities.
Mm-hmm.
Assist things like Meals on Wheels. Make sure that they get to the places they're supposed to go. Make sure that these government facilities that are set up, they have the assistance for light bills and things like that. Make sure they have enough funding to help. Because if you're a mother, you're not getting any assistance, you're working a 20-hour-a-week job, and you have a house, now you can barely, you have to live like a caveman, so your light bill won't be over $200 a month.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There are some people with
still they cannot pay. Because what they have is not enough. Don't get me wrong, they're working, trying to get a better job. But until then, that 5 hours is going to have to do. But instead of us sitting there frowning, oh, they need to have this, they need to do this, oh, they don't never have no money. But why don't they? At one point, we were all in that position. We were all without money. We were all without nothing. We're living from check to check. So we have to think about those things.
You know, Shannon brought up a point, and I normally say this at the beginning of every one of my shows. I normally tell everybody that this show is Let's Talk Truth. And I tell you that we're not here to preach to you. We're definitely not here to preach to you because the majority of our listeners, I'm sure, have your own pastors and teachers or whomever that's teaching you about righteousness and the love of God.
Right.
But what I will say, if we're going to talk truth,
yes,
Christ has to be the center of your truth, because if he's not, we're merely giving us our opinion. We're merely giving you our opinion. So I'm really glad that Shannon moved that in that direction to let you know that when we talk about what do we do when what we have is not enough and inefficiency, when you get to the point where your life is not meshing like it should and your check does not meet your needs, I'm not talking about your wants, we're talking about your check does not meet your needs, then I believe the body of Christ needs to come in. The love of God needs to intervene. And once we start loving somebody else and stop fattening our own everything, we're, you know, making sure we eat. But I firmly believe that inefficiency stops, like she said, when people start to care about each other and stop being so selfish. And everything is just selfish, selfish, selfish. I want this. I want that. I want this. So, we're going to, now we're covered the inefficiency, and we're going to try to hold this, do it now for the inadequacy. When what you have is not enough, when it's inadequate for you, there are several different reasons why things are inadequate. And one thing that brought this to mind was we were all made in the image of God. Am I right? What is it about ourselves we're unhappy with? Our hair is not long enough. Our skin is not the right color. We have to have this on our face and that on our face. And I feel that, Shannon, a lot of things we've been fed. We've been fed a lie by society. I saw the prettiest young lady the other day in the store. She was my cashier. That was a beautiful young lady. Hair just beautifully black. And I looked at her face. First, I looked at her arm. There was not a place vacant on her arm. She was tatted from shoulder down to her wrist.
Please.
On both arms. And let me tell you, that looked nasty to me. You look at all of that, and that absolutely looks unclean. I looked at her face, that beautiful face. She had 6 lip piercings. 3 at the bottom, 3 at the top, and a piercing on each dimple in her cheek. No, she looked horrible. And I told her, I asked her, I said, your piercings didn't interfere with you getting a job. But then when I asked her that, I realized what store I was in.
Walmart.
No, wasn't Walmart. And I said, she said, no. I said, but what if they asked you to take it out? She said, I can't, because it's something, she said, put in there, and the only way to get it out was they'd have to cut it out.
And my God, I almost cried when I looked at her beautiful face. What so horrible? You know, I asked her, but then I have this gift that I can see kind of what you're going through. And I said, you really don't know how beautiful you are. And when you find people, she fell under the low self-esteem category, which she never should have fallen in that category because that girl was awesomely pretty. She's beautiful. But her struggle was not on the outside. Her struggle was from within. She was struggling from within. And she said, I see why you're doing that. And so she wanted to know, well, she said, do you know why? I said, yes, I know. I said, you're struggling inside. I said, what's bothering you is on the inside. She said, what's bothering me on the inside? I said, because you're gay and you're fighting with it because you don't understand it. And she just fell back. And she looked at me like, but, you know, and I said, I instantly began to pray for her. Let me tell you what really is sad, that you will allow something inside to tear you up on the outside.
Well, you think you have it here.
Well, yeah, well, before you go, come on, Shannon, you tell.
Let me explain to you what it is. I can speak on that because I am a victim of low self-esteem. I used to have very low self-esteem. You would never know that looking at me now. But when you feel like everything is wrong with you when someone tells you it's wrong. Well, in her case, I'm assuming because everybody says it's wrong to be that way. Berating her every day, not knowing that's not how you draw anybody. You don't burn it here, you don't do this. So she's feeling like, for outer sake, I have to do this way versus just saying, okay, if that's how she's going to be, let's pray for the young lady, let's do whatever. But you don't berate anybody because of something they are. But in my case, I felt as if I was not pretty enough. Everyone was prettier than me. And everyone, they have better, you know, clothes than I do. They get to do this. And not knowing that was the devil talking to me. Once I let him in, he just talked in my ear continuously and had me feeling like I didn't even see my face when I looked in the mirror. If I could draw really well, I would draw the face that I saw when I looked in the mirror. That's what I saw. It was not me. When I looked at pictures of myself, that's the face that I saw. I didn't see Shannon. And mine wasn't due to the fact that my mother never told me I was beautiful. My mother, you know, kept me uplifted, my family. That's not the issue. Somewhere down the line, I felt as if what I had was not enough for everyone else. And so all it took was that one little crack in the door, and everything else started to fill in. It's like, you know, having a little water damage, you know, something, a pipe burst, a little bit of crack. Eventually it's going to flood the house. And that's exactly what happened to me. So when you feel like, you know, even coming up nowadays, they tell you what your depiction of beauty should be starting from birth. This is what a model looks like. This is what someone looks like. This is what a representation of beauty is. You know, for one while there, it was, if you were a chocolate-skinned little girl, you weren't beautiful at all. You had to be high yellow with long hair. Not knowing I was chocolate with long hair, still fly. So, I mean, those are things I had to really reintroduce myself to myself and learn to love myself. And a lot of people don't have that. They feel inadequate because of maybe where they live, their lack of furniture. And the thing that really is a catalyst for boosting that in people are other people. If I feel inadequate because my home living is not like yours, don't bring me over your house and show me all of your, oh, look, I got this and this. Oh, that's okay. You don't have that. Or, you know, little things like that. We have to learn how to make people feel okay with who they are. Since where you are today is not where you'll be tomorrow. My current situation does not determine my destination. And people have to understand that. You know, my mother told me a long time ago, I was like, Mom, they have this, this, and that. And she would say, Shannon, do you know what they got to do to get it? How do you know if they got that in the right way, if they, how they obtain these things? Are they doing it the right way, Shannon, or are they not? And I really had to sit down and think about it one day. I don't know what they're doing to have the things that they have or to do this like this. But if I don't, if I pay $50 for my shoes and they pay $150, does that make my shoes less cute? No. And I had to really come to the realization of that. Mm-hmm. Instead of feeding into what society has set before me and go back to the foundation of what I know. And for those people who don't have a foundation, that's where we come into play. People like myself who bounce back from that. I can pull somebody to the side and say, hey, listen, this is what I had to do. This probably could help you. That's the reason we go through things anyway, to help people. So I know what it's like to feel inadequate. So I can help someone else to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just want to say that.
Okay. All right. We're here on, we're talking about, still talking about when what you have is not enough. We've moved into our inadequacy stage. Mr. Motivator, I know you have something to offer to this part of the discussion that we're having here about inadequacy and not having enough. You feel that, you know, the person feel like, I don't have enough of this and enough of that, and I'm short in this and short in that.
Okay, Louise, you go ahead.
Okay, where that insufficient inadequacy come in, when people want to be, they try to base what they want off of what somebody else has. So sometimes if you don't learn to live within your means, you're going to always have that. Because if you're making, say, $10,000, but you spend over $100,000, there's something wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
And what that means is you're going to have to go back and say, hey, I got to make some adjustments, you know. Because you can't go out here and you're making $10,000 and you're going to go get into this big old $100,000 mansion out here. Or you're going to get this big old car that takes two or three blocks to turn around in. So you'll never have no money like that because you're going to have to, every time your car pulls up to the pumps, it's just going to say, fill her up, you know.
That's
right. So until you get to where you know that you can't keep up with the Joneses and you want to keep, you know, trying to, compete with them, you can always be
mm-hmm.
inadequate with your money.
That's right. Go ahead, Louise.
Thank you, Louise. I like that statement you said. I think inadequacy can go both directions.
Mm-hmm.
It can go in the positive or in the negative.
That's right.
Because I think some people grow up in dysfunctional families and they grow up with inadequacies, and then those inadequacies just sort of carry with them. And if you're a person, you've worked on job and you've been rejected. You've never gotten a raise. You've never advanced to a position or had a job that paid you that was anything of a great magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself causes inadequacy because you tend to just give up and settle for whatever comes through. And then on the other end, it can go to the extreme because you have some people that are in denial. And they look at the soap opera or they look at something on TV and they want to be like those characters.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like Dr. Kilder. I want to drive what he drives. I want to have the kind of house Dr. Kilder has. And I just want to go on all these cruises and vacations. And I want to go to church and hold my head up in the air and go out to the parties or whatever and act like Dr. Kilder.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes some misconception, as Louise said, the Joneses. So I think, therefore, there should be some balance. But I think if I was real hungry and everything, the first thing I would do was tell your limo driver drop me off at the green room because you load up your guests full of food in the green room. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a little bit of humor. Miss Lawrence knows what I'm talking about. But on a serious note, we have to examine ourselves real close and to look and to see where are we missing it at. And I really do hope that the president and his administration, and not only the president, all of the leaders that stand in front of the nation, you know, that's from everyone, from the city commissioner to the governor on up. I think let's have a heart and really look at the people and forget about trying to make a name for ourselves and want to make sure our name is called every time they call a name. And we want to make sure that there's theatrics and they start playing, blowing trumpets and rolling out carpets. Realistically speaking, let's help the downtrodden people. Let's help those that are less fortunate. And also, let's help those who are working. Let's try to make sure that their needs, their families are taken care of. Let's make sure that the elderly have a place. No elderly individual should be kicking outside. There's no excuse for that to happen. No one should be working. They've retired and they're working, and they have to go buy cat food and dog food, and they have no animals. That is a catastrophe to me.
That's right. Thank you all for those comments, and y'all are just so on point. And when we're talking about inadequacies, I wanted to make a point a minute ago. I know every time Mr. Motivator is on my show, I make some notation to how much older he is than I am. And I just wanted to kind of bring that back. He proves it every time, and I don't have to. I know he made a comment about Dr. Kill there. Well, I know Dr. Phil. I mean, I'm that age group where I know Dr. Phil. Dr. Kill there was back to say, I'm going to help you guys out that's out there listening, because we have young people that's listening, you know, young people like my age. They're listening. And Dr. Kildare was way back in the day with my mama. So I just want y'all to know it is really a show that came on TV. My mother told me about it. Dr. Kildare was a doctor. It was a show about a doctor on TV. So I just wanted y'all to know Mr. Motivator is on point now. Dr. Kildare is a real show on TV. But I can't tell you anything about him. I don't know how he looks. But I just know the Dr. Phil era, so I don't know the Dr. Kildare. And then back in the day, I understand it was not just Dr. Kildare, it was Dr. Ben Casey, too. You know, you talked to me about that.
No,
remember?
I have not Dr. Ben Casey.
Yeah. All of these doctors. But listen, I'm with you, Shannon. You're probably just a little bit older than I am. And we're still talking about inadequacy. Sometimes, you know, we think things that's really not there when they're really there. So, but y'all brought up some interesting points. You really did. You talked about the different scenarios in which people do feel inadequate. We talked about low self-esteem. We talked about keeping up with the Joneses. And let me tell you that you have to, I believe that society or people in society need to be equipped spiritually. You know, and I think that's the number one key, because we're entertained every day with different things that pulls us out of our comfort zone, or pull us out of the area in which we talk about we don't have enough. We're never going to be inadequate unless we try to model ourselves after the wrong thing. You know, the reality shows now, how many people now want to be basketball wives, want to be the bad girls club. You know, they, you know what, and let me tell you, I see these, now listen, this is what really gets me. I don't look at that stuff. You know, it comes on TV, but you know why I don't look at it? I think that's stupid. I don't want to be, I don't want to curse every word. I don't want to have friends that I try to fight every time, you know, everything. So these are things, and I'm not saying that I'm better than anyone, but these shows just don't entertain me. But when you get to the point where you see these young ladies who they live in a house on their own, they have no rules, like normal girls have, you have no curfew, you can pretty much do what you want to, this is what we want to do. So our young ladies, the little checks that they make, it's going to go because I've got to look like that. I've got to get my nails done whether I've got the money to do it or not. I've got to buy this and I've got to buy that. So young women are going to the extreme trying to look like the bad girls club. And this is why, and they're trying to look like, and have the basketball wives. Those are, you may have dated a basketball player's uncle, but all of those are not, they're not American basketball players, but they sit up here and they're giving
the drama.
But I know.
Why? Because their lives are inadequate.
Exactly.
You feel better about your life when someone else's life is so worth you.
But my point, that's my point exactly. But it's those shows that's allowing our everyday John Q. citizen female to become inadequate because you're trying to dress like those women on there, and they sit up and argue about some earrings that somebody made them, and they had the only one kind, and then you went and got some earrings like mine, and I went to Jewelry Galore and got a pair just like them, and I paid $1. So you have to realize we're being entertained and we're being lied to. And this is why what we have is not enough. I don't have enough money to buy shoes because I'm trying to buy the shoes that they wear on the TV. And I can't.
Oh, my God.
And you know, we're, you know, when you look around, those shoes are not that, the same shoes. You can go to Payless and see those same shoes.
Yeah, they don't read about moving from that thing.
Paint the bottom red. You know, the same thing.
Maybe you brought up a good point. Do you think these reality shows, do you think maybe sometimes people get out there some other reality shows, you know, a few years back, you know, it wasn't long before, a lot of people were looking at girls going wild. Girls going wild. Okay, so you think that could have caused those other ideas for that type of show to spur off, and then the boys going wild, and so all of these type of things where people are kind of wanting to get caught up and make everything that way.
We're talking about inadequacy, right?
Yeah.
Inadequacies come from inadequate people. Now, do you know there are so many reality shows? They feed from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting until they have the preacher reality show.
They do.
The preachers that sit and
they got churches going wild.
That's horrible. Churches going wild.
No,
I don't believe that.
They have a bunch of bishops and they have their knees and they begin to
do it.
I know they just, but then, you got, we're going to have your first ladies going wild.
Well, they've been doing the best.
Did you say they got show first ladies going wild?
I'm sure there's going to be one. And then Sopranos gone wild. Alto's gone wild. After a while.
Wow,
yeah. The choir that's buck wild.
Gone wild.
Yes, all these inadequacies. This comes from people who are inadequate. Listen,
all of the... Look, when we get to the point where we want to be so entertained that we will absolutely lose everything we have and become inadequate because we're trying.
Everything we do.
Exactly.
YouTube is about, how do you think everybody says, oh, man, everybody's saying everybody's trying to... Going to act the food on YouTube. People watch these things because they're entertained.
I understand that.
You get a laugh at someone else's expense, it's better than a laugh at your own expense.
But then it doesn't stop at laughing. You find people who really change their course of their life and pattern themselves after these things.
Then they need mental health.
Exactly. But see, you don't know that until after it has happened. Inadequacies come in all stages and forms. And you have to be cognizant of what you do and who you do it in front of. Don't you know society now is just like doing things in front of a kid, a little baby. You do things in front of a baby, he's going to pick it up like that.
Mm-hmm.
Say a bad word, he's going to pick it up. Well, that's the same way society is. You know, that's why people call me old-fashioned. You're just old-fashioned. You just back in the day. Mm-hmm. Man, drunk. God is not about drama. He does not do drama. No. No, he don't have any actors. No stage play. This, we have to try to get it right down here. This is the only rehearsal hall you have, your day-to-day living. And if he should call us in and we're sitting up being entertained.
This is dress rehearsal.
This is dress rehearsal, sister.
Oh, this is a live show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, Lord, I do have a small confession now. I am on YouTube. Mr. Motivator is on YouTube. But again, I'm entertaining an audience. And but I know that's not a relation to what we're talking about. You're talking about things just getting out of hand, but I just had to plug that in there for some of my fans to go and check me out.
Now, this is going to bring us to our next category.
Greed.
Greed.
Yes. Motivated.
We'll
take over everything.
No. No. But you know what? What you have is not enough. Now, when we get down to greed.
Greed.
This is where I don't care how much I have, I want more. I just got to have more. Just give me the, I know I've got 6 pair of, what are those shoes you're talking about?
Red bottoms.
I've got 6 pair of red bottoms. I just bought them yesterday. But I want 6 more today. My feet not going to hurt that long. You know, my feet's not going to last that long. When I'm not going to wear a pair of heels that it's not that, it's only 7 days in a week.
Well, I just want to say, earlier, Sister Louise made a point. She was saying how we're talking about greed and how, you know, the middle class being put back to the lower class, things like that. I think that people misconstrue when anyone who has money misconstrues when you say about keeping things fair and equal. I said earlier we were having a brief conversation. It's not you've made your money. You worked hard, whether you use a trust fund baby or whether it's something passed down. But somebody somewhere worked hard or did something crooked, however the case may be. But you have your money. I'm not saying to give it away. I'm not saying you have to take care of everybody. What I'm saying is everything you do does not have to be a tax write-off. Everything you do does not have to be something that is blatant out there for the whole world to see. All these millions of dollars circulating through here, you mean to tell me you said earlier there are 51 million people go to bed hungry? So you mean to tell me if I'm holding on to my, let's say I get blessed tomorrow with $180 million. I'm 38 years old. How long am I going to live? What am I going to do with $138 million? Now, if I'm setting up things in place so that my family may have a way to obtain wealth on their own or something to build, grab people out of the community, go to these local poverty high schools, pull a student with potential, put them in business, show them how to, you know, budget, show them how to do this, take them out. I'm not saying anything wrong with anybody living in the project, but it's wrong to have project mentality. But do something when you have money.
I said earlier about that recreation center.
Yeah, we tired of it.
Everything doesn't even have a recreation center.
Mm-hmm.
How many people can play basketball? How many people? Everybody's not going to make it to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not going to make it to the NFL. And those who do, half time don't stay. Either they get thrown out because of drugs,
mm-hmm.
or they bum knees, or they get old.
Mm-hmm.
So the ratio of people making it to the NBA or NFL, quit promoting sports. Teach them how to think.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at Michael Vick, had somebody pulled that black man aside, brother, you are rich now. Get out of that ghetto mentality. To this day, he would be on top. He would have never served jail time because he would have known. You don't have to fight dogs. You're a millionaire. And you buried him on your property. But nobody has sense enough to yell in his ear. Because we all think, my money, it's me. I ain't going to worry about it. Anyone who, you can't have everything. Everything can't be yours. You can't grasp on everything. Where are you going to put it? You're going to run out of space. We run out of space on the earth. There's too many people walking around. There's people popping out babies left and right.
But that's because people are trying to spread things out. Do you know if you...
Their legs.
A little bit of... You could take a little bit of Dallas and structure it just right, and you'd be amazed at the extra land you'd have left over.
But you can't do that because you want to know why? You want a bigger building. You want a shinier place. Everything has to be big.
Yeah.
I think Shannon has a great point. I've heard this many times over. I have $546 billion, and I just don't want to pay any taxes. I just want to continue to, I want my empire to grow, and it's my money, and I don't think I should have to pay taxes or share anything. I shouldn't have to do anything for anybody because it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
But you know what, Mr. Motivator, what's really sad when you see hear people talk like that, they just want to be the only one with it. I want to be the only rich person in the world because I want everybody to look up to me and need me. I want to be the only one who's got it. And when we start thinking like that, we are very selfish and self-centered, and we are greedy. We are absolutely filled with greed when we want to be the only one that's got it. We want everything to be ours from whatever money we've got up to the good Lord. Have you ever heard people say, now the God I serve, or my God, is better than your God.
And my pastor.
Yes, and my pastor is better than your pastor.
And my church.
Yes, and my church, it sits on a hill and it overlooks the lake. And it's better than that little church you have. My God, people, come on. We're going through this greed stage. We're greedy for power. That's all we want, greedy for power. We're not greedy for things. We want power.
You know, you're saying the truth, Lois. I see that all the time. You know, you see it in a lot of the churches. People are running over other people because they want their name to be mentioned in the limelight, and they don't want anybody else to be noticed, and therefore they're willing to undermine some other person because they want the pastor, they want the church to mention their name, and they want to get credit for themselves, and they're looking out for themselves, and they don't care about anybody else. And it's a shame that you have people that only look out for themselves. Again, it goes back to what you said. That's greed in its greatest form. Therefore, we have to look at ourselves and ask, what are we becoming? What kind of society are we becoming? Or is it the competition to see who can hoard up the most, who can be the most greediest? It seems like that's where it's going to. People want to brag about themselves and what they can do for themselves and what they have, and they want to be in the limelight, to have all the talk. And to be honest with you, Lord, there are even some organizations that are supposed to be in favor of helping the people who are underprivileged or the people
to look out for the senior citizens and so forth. But these organizations, if you notice, the only time they want to come forward is going to put them in the limelight, and it's going to put them on TV so they can get more money and help themselves. It's not about them really trying to make a difference.
I believe you. I believe exactly what you're saying. Mr. Motivator, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Sister Louise. I want to thank Shannon for being here on the show this evening. You guys are just awesome, Jossam.
Well, thank you.
And
thanks, Pastor.
And we have to get to the point where we are here to what the things that we talk about. We have to be able to spit it out there and listen. I mean, and help. So this evening, talking about when what you have is not enough. As long as we need to know, what do I have? Is that enough?
I agree.
You know, we have to get to the point. And I believe the scripture tells us, Apostle Paul said, if we will just learn to be content, we have to learn to be content in all that we have. There would be, you know, to be very content in the things that we have. And then we get to that point, we won't be able to do anything. I want to take this time to thank our guests. You guys have been awesome. Thank our staff for putting everything together for us this evening. Thank our limo driver for being here every day. Just thank you so very much. Our security and everyone here in the studio, I want to thank you guys so very much. Understand that we are working diligently in our Let's Talk Truth segments. Thank you guys for making your contributions. We're looking forward to our Let's Talk Truth magazine. I've got new business cards. I got to share that with you. That should be in a couple of days. And just everything that's going around bringing this thing together. And we're just going to get to the point where you guys, we're on Facebook, we're on Blog Talk Radio. Just tune in to that and help us to understand everything that's going on. We have like 2 minutes left.
I just want to ask you quick. Again, thank you for having me on your broadcast. I love being on your show. But I want to ask you, you look fabulous. I mean, I don't know what, your skin looks beautiful. And is it true that are you working out with Oprah now, or tell me, who is it that I know it's somebody that we know on TV that you're working out with, and tell me who it is.
Well, we're just gonna kind of keep that under wraps, because you know a lot of times when we're working out and doing certain things, a lot of people try to get in on the limelight, so we don't want to do that, and so I am working out and, you know, just really taking care of my skin. And because, as you know, I'm out there single and free, and you never know when I'm going to just run across this magnificent man that's going to sweep me off my feet. So I'm just waiting to be swept off my feet. You know, got to lose a couple of pounds, and then they can really sweep me off my feet. So, but, you know, we just thank everybody. Listen, I know I did a deal last week, and I promised you we were going to have a winner. I have not had a chance to pull those things together, but for those of you that have sent your emails in, I am going to look through them, and everything is going to be go down the same. And the challenge that we had on last week, so you'll be getting your prize from that. So just hang in there with me. And another thing, I want you all to have a wonderful, wonderful week. We have some new things that we're trying to get together to share with you, and we just thank you for being here and being a part of everything. And out of all that we can do or say to you, just remember one thing. I am Lois. This is Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving you with the heart of God. So good night and be blessed.